We'll turn to Joshua chapter 20. Joshua chapter 20. I've referred several times over the last few months about cities of refuge. The city of refuge. And I hope tonight we can take a quick look at this. There's so much here, and I feel like I'm just skipping a rock across a very deep pond. But boy, what a precious pond that is. These cities of refuge, that's my subject. And what it covers is, if there was a manslayer, in our day we call that a manslaughterer, someone that killed someone without intention, if they flee to this city of refuge, designated city, an appointed city, and they get there, and they stay there, inside those walls, their sanctuary, their safe haven. But something a little bit more than that. There's the removal of guilt. Removal of guilt. We can't do that, can we? That's the Lord's law. That's what we're going to look at. Here in Joshua 20, we'll begin in verse 1. Looking at the first 9 verses. And the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for your cities of refuge, wherefore I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. He told Moses this over 40 years before. And he's telling it now to Joshua to act on it. To act on it. This was declared before it ever came to pass. It came to pass for Joshua. And you know what we're doing this evening? We're telling what's already been done. Does that sound familiar at all? Something was declared beforehand. It came. And now we're talking about it. Refuge was declared. Refuge came. And now we're talking about Him. Him. Verse 3. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doeth flee unto one of those cities, shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, and they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city, and unto his own house, and to the own city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Karjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side of the Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, the Lord told Moses, he said, you're going to do 3 cities on this side of the Jordan. 3 cities of refuge. And if the Lord grow you, how are you going to grow? Doesn't that kind of happen naturally? The Lord's got to do it. If the Lord grow you, then you'll put 3 more on the other side of the Jordan. It says, on the other side of the Jordan, verse 8, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. This refuge, this person that accidentally murdered someone accidentally died by their hand, the law said they must die. You took the life of another, you have killed, you must die. And the avenger of blood would come and kill him. That's what God's law says. And that very law that condemns them is the very law that sets apart these cities of refuge. Isn't that something? What's these cities of refuge? This refuge, this place of salvation, it was appointed right after Moses came down from Sinai. In Exodus 21, it says, if a man lie not in wait, if you don't premeditate this murder, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. I'm going to set this as a place where you can go. This refuge city, this hiding place, this place where guilt was removed, where preservation is lasting. This is a person. It's not just a place, it's a person, isn't it? Isaiah said, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Well, that sounds like a good refuge, doesn't it? Who is it? And it's a man. A man shall be these things. David wrote in Psalm 32, thou art my hiding place. Where's my refuge? It's a person. He's praying to his Lord. He said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I need deliverance. It's going to take a person. Not a doing. Not a physical place. Not a denomination. Not a creed. A person. It's going to take God to deliver us. Many claim to know this hiding place. They claim to know this sanctuary, this refuge, this city of refuge, Christ the Lord. But they do not enter into the city. They do not enter in. They may stand out in front of it and say, there's the city. They may be able to tell you how many rooms are inside, which way the streets run, north or south, east or west. But if they don't enter into the city, they're not in it. They may turn around away from the city and defend the city. They may go to war with everyone trying to attack this city, faithfully defend the city, and still not be in the city. Do you hate a rigged system? I do, don't you? People that commit a crime in our country, intentionally, they premeditate a crime. And as soon as the police show up, those avengers of blood that we have a picture of in our nation, they say, oh, I was temporarily insane. I was crazy. I'm going to take refuge in myself. Those people aren't crazy, are they? They're cunning. They're cunning. We have a welfare system in this country. And as designed on paper, it's a wonderful thing. What a great idea. That's a good thing, isn't it? But it's fully and utterly abused. People take advantage of our welfare system. Oh, my back. I know. I was raised. I know a lot of my family. Just say you hurt this way. Say you hurt that way. They can't prove it. They aren't lame. They're lazy. And they're thieves. They're stealing from everybody in this nation, ain't they? That's called corruption. That's a rigged system, a corrupt system. It's a system that can be corrupted. Man, so many men and women, they willfully and they eagerly sin against God. Then they claim to be saved again. They intentionally sin against God. They fulfill their own lust. They fill up their own bellies. And they attempt to declare that, oh, the blood of Christ has purged me again. This is all over, isn't it? It's all over TV. It's all over college professors, movie stars, anybody. Like it's some kind of golden parachute. People can do anything they want. And then they raise the white flag. Oh, I'm in a city refuge right here inside of me. You can't touch me. Men and women pervert the mercy of God in Christ and trade it for the mercy of men. Men. Do you think that won't be punished? That's a severe blasphemy. To claim his salvation to get your neighbors and your co-workers and your boss off your back. What a shame. They do it for their own pride, for their own comfort. They profess that they have run to a city of refuge, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the city of refuge. But they turn again to the shelter of their own righteousness. The refuge of their own works. The refuge of their own experiences. What blasphemy. Turn over to Deuteronomy 19. The Lord mentions this each city of refuge is several times such scriptures. Here in Deuteronomy 19, here's an example the Lord gives us of a manslayer. Because we can take anything and just twist it the best we can. That must be Grandma. That had to have been Grandma. And I know she had 3 pistols in the car and she planned the bank robbery ahead of time. She had a ski mask, but now Grandma just had to have been a manslayer. She's saved as everybody, isn't she? She's a believer. Premeditated robbery and murder. What's the Lord give us an example of? Here in Deuteronomy 19, verse 4. And in this case of the slayer, which shall flee thither, that he may live, whoso killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hateth not in time past. Someone that didn't premeditate this. Verse 5. As, here's an example, when a man goeth into the wood, into his neighbor, to hew wood. He goes chop down some trees. And his hand fetcheth a stroke of the axe to cut down the tree. And the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die. He shall flee into one of those cities and live. Man goes up to chop wood, to cut down a tree, and he swings that axe. The axe head comes off, flies through the air, hits his neighbor in the head, and kills him. We'd say, boy, it's a terrible accident, isn't it? What does the law of God say? He murdered someone. A soul was taken. He must die. And at the same time, he says, that's exactly who I'm talking about. Someone that didn't know what they did, unintentionally killed someone. I have a city for them. Over in Numbers 35, he tells us, gives us an example, someone rolling a stone off the hill. They got a road of hills all over this place. I saw it happen behind our house not too long ago. They're just rolling some big old rocks. I mean, them things, it took 2 or 3 of them to get the thing, the rock rolling. And once it started, it didn't stop. If that was to roll off a hill and kill someone at the bottom of the hill, the city of refuge is for you. That's who it's for. But our Lord's salvation is incorruptible. He will not be taken advantage of. He's not a man like us. Mercy is not a manipulated means to an end. Mercy is undeserved. It's begged for, and it's given, and it's not repented of. That gift of mercy. If the Lord's merciful to you, a work has been done in you, and mercy has been accomplished. Look down at verse 11. Deuteronomy 19:11. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die, he planned this murder. He did this willfully. And fleeth into one of these cities. Oh, I was a manslaughter. It was an accident. I'm going to the city of refuge. Verse 12. Then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of the blood that he may die. Thine eyes shall not pity him. Don't you feel sorry for these people. But thou shalt put away the guilt of innocent blood from Israel that it may go well with thee. I want us to see this context here. That this isn't some get out of jail free card. This isn't our reserve parachute just in case. Or something we can use at any whim. This is serious business. This is the law of God in front of us. Now here in our text, Joshua 20, begin in verse 1. Joshua 20, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for your cities of refuge, wherefore I spake unto you by the hand of Moses. Who appointed these cities of refuge? God did. Who declared the city of refuge? Him. Who came up with this? The Lord did. He told them to do it. For what cause? Why did he do this? Verse 3. That the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. That is every child of God. Every child of God. Well, I don't know everybody I know, Kevin. I didn't say it's everybody you know. I didn't say it's everybody you're related to. Every child of God. We are convicted of sin for the first time. There's a shock. There's uncontrolled fear. There's anxiety. The first time you fear the Lord, it's just like a small child. My children grew up, they physically feared me. Because if they didn't do what I'd tell them, I was going to bop them. And I ain't had to bop none of them in years. Why? Because now they still fear me, but they fear me in honor. That's my father. I don't want to disrespect him. But we begin with that physical fear. I've sinned against God. He's going to kill me. There's some anxiety. There's some shock. We didn't have that knowledge before. We're swinging that axe on that tree. You ever chop down a tree? It's nice. You get your Grunfeld's books, head sharpened real good, and the chips fly. And you swing it like a baseball bat, like you're playing for the Padres. Oh, boy, it's nice. It's a good feeling. And then you give it all you got, and you just feel wood on wood. Uh-oh. Where'd that head go? I didn't mean that to happen. What happened? My neighbor's dead. I killed him. You move that big old stone off your driveway. Well, there's a big canyon down there. It don't matter. Whew. You shove it. Thump, thump, thump. And then you hear screaming at the bottom of the canyon. There's a shock. There's a fear. There's an anxiety. You broke God's law. That's the instinct men have in us. It's written on our hearts. People, you deny it all you want to. Go push a rock off a cliff. Hear somebody scream. You're going to feel it. Lord didn't lie. When the Holy Ghost first convicts us of sin, when He comes to a child of God and He convicts us of sin, we have no idea what and all we have truly done. We don't know every sin we've committed. We don't know what we intended to do, what we didn't intend to do. We don't know nothing. We just know we're sin. I don't really know what that means, but I know I'm it. We know we're guilty. We know the law is just and right to condemn us and kill us. For how many of them? I don't know me. That's pretty basic, isn't it? We don't have a deep understanding. We just know what we are. We did not know our neighbors. We didn't know our brothers and sisters in Christ. But now we see that's who we were slaying, isn't it? So we flee. We run. Flee, you don't lollygag when you're fleeing. You don't take your time and pack your bags. And, oh, I'm going to bring these pictures with me. You flee. You run. Take clothes on your back and get out of there. To a city of refuge. We flee to the cross of Christ. That's where we go. He said, come to me, all you that's weary and you're heavy laden. What are you heavy laden with? Good ideas? No. You're heavy laden with sin. Guilt against the God you've offended. He said, come unto me. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. What do people do when they enter that city of refuge? This is beautiful. Look here in verse 4. And when he that doth flee into one of these cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city. We've read about gates before, haven't we? And shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. They shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. First, when you enter that city, that narrow gate. You know how wide I bet that gate is? I don't give my opinion often. I bet it was one man wide. I bet the entrance for those manslayers was one man wide. You come into Christ. You come into Him. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You come into Him and you declare your cause. Why are you here? Why are you here? I killed my neighbor. I didn't know I did it, but I did. I killed him. And I need mercy. You know what you're declaring in that? Who's your neighbor? Looked at that recently too, didn't I? Who is my neighbor? Didn't they ask the Lord that? Is it the sinner next door that don't know God? Yep. I slew him. I hated people. I got mad at somebody that was going too slow on my road today. You know what I did? I slew him. Well, that was intentional, wasn't it? That was out of this heart. Who else is my neighbor? My brethren that I did not know were my brethren. I fought against them. I kicked against them. I bit them. I devoured them. I slew them. I didn't even know who they were. And I did it. And I need mercy. Who else lives in my neighborhood? Who else is a closer than a brother? That's a friend. Now we're getting somewhere. Now it ain't offending old mommy and daddy. Now it ain't offending them real sweet people next door to me. I killed Christ. I didn't know I did it. I wasn't even born yet. I need mercy. Explain that, Kevin, in great detail. No! Give me mercy. I don't understand it. Just clutch a hold of him like Jacob. I ain't letting you go. I'm in these walls now. You ain't getting rid of me. So many people, they're like that blind man. They say, oh, I see. They see everything underneath the sun, don't they? Except the fact they used to be blind. I ain't got no problem finding somebody that knows who Jesus is. I got a problem finding a blind man that don't. And that needs to be healed. I got a message for them. These bands, I might have hurt somebody's feelings one time. I won't get into that. That's a joke I used to tell. But you enter in that narrow gate. You come to Christ begging mercy, declaring your guilt. And what happens? What happens? Somebody comes in this room and said, I was mean to you all for 40 years. I ain't done nothing but cuss you and bite you and do things I shouldn't have done. And the whole time I was sinning against God. And I need mercy. You that have been shown mercy, what you going to do? Well, now you're going to have to take some classes. And you're going to sit over there for 6 weeks. And then you come sit up here with the big folks. You have to sit at the kids' table when we eat. No, look here. They shall take him into the city unto them. Unto them. Why would it take a man that just killed somebody unto them? I just killed somebody too. That's how I got here. That's my family. Come here. I'll take them unto me. Hug up on them. And give him a place. You need a place to stay? Right there you go. You need something to drive? You can borrow my car anytime you want to. That he may dwell among them. You don't need to go nowhere. You don't need just visit. You stay right here with us. It's a special thing to hug a man that just killed somebody. You enter into the narrow gate. You confess while you're in that city of mercy. And you are accepted. You're accepted. And while you're in that city, the law of God says there's no guilt. You ain't under church watch. You ain't got to wear handcuffs. You ain't got to have Big Brother walk you down. Go, oh, you need some vegetables? I got to go with you. Don't you go leaving. There's no guilt. There's full acquittal. There's a full remission of sin in Christ. That's fellowship, isn't it? With all those people in there, that's the fellows in the same ship. How long does that safety last? We'll give you 3 months. No. Look here in verse 6. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come into his own city and to his own house and to the city from whence he fled. He has to stay there until that high priest dies. As long as that high priest is living, he has full acquittal. He has full acquittal. Once he dies, then he can go home. Once he dies, then he can go home. He has the right to go home. When we enter Christ, when we enter the person, how long will our high priest live? He's the only one who had an oath. That's what we read before we started service today there in Hebrews 6. Those others, there's been a whole mess of high priests. There's a high priest in all six of these cities, isn't there? They didn't have an oath with them. Why? They died. They're man, just like us. They died. Christ lives forever. Those others were appointed, they were ordained, but Christ was made the high priest forever. Forever. After the order of Melchizedek. How do you get into these cities? The way to the cities of refuge was always kept clear. That road that went in, they could be easily traveled. The magistrates, once a year, they had a road crew get together. And they were responsible. They surveyed the roads into these cities of refuge. And they made sure there was clear debris. Tree fell down. Well, you better get out there and cut it up. The road has to be clear. They'll send out those crews and they take big, large rocks and get them off the road. Take away the trees. Take away all the possibility of any stumbling stone. Get it out of the way. You got something just hanging you up if you need to run to that city of refuge. This crew went through and got that big stumbling stone out of the way. All the high places that got put down. All the low places got filled in. That way it was a flat, level, straight road straight to the city of refuge. All along that road they placed markers in bold capital letters, refuge. They put it at the intersections with an arrow. Because if you're fleeing, you're running. And you're running and you see refuge that way. You hang a right and you go. Times of the essence. They didn't have to hesitate. They just looked at those signs and kept going. Those signs and those crews that go out and clear those roads. That's a pretty good picture of the Lord's ministers, isn't it? I want to take away any stumbling stone I can for someone to get to Christ. I want to cut up any tree laying across their road and get it out of the way. And then me get out of the way. Go. Run. Run. Where are these cities? I won't bother you. If you get a map out, you plot all these things out. Every one of them is within a half a day's journey from anywhere in the land of Israel. Either side of the Jordan. Didn't matter where you are, you can make it there in half a day. That's close, isn't it? Christ is omnipresent. Lo, I am with you always. People say, I found Christ. He ain't the one that's lost. You'd be in good shape if you was lost. They don't need to get saved, they need to get lost, don't they? They may just find out they're close to a city of refuge. Right there. Those cities are easy to find. They were all on a hill. They were high and lifted up. High and lifted up. That's what happens twice a week all around this country, different states. Here and there, close to us, the Lord has the city of refuge lifted up. He's exalted every Wednesdays and Sundays. Thursdays if you're in New Jersey. Close. Ain't far away. How do you and I run to a city of refuge now in our day? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look and live. Kevin, I can't run no more either. I lost that ability. I can't run. I can't flee. Don't have to. Don't have to come out of your seat. Run to Him. Seek mercy. Seek refuge in the only place it can be found. Seek Him right where you sit. Christ is our refuge, not the church. Run from the church, run to Christ. Christ is our refuge, not our works. Run from your works. Run to Him. He's our refuge. Not a creed. Not a confession. Not a denomination. Not a catechism. A person. Not a religious ceremony. Run to Him. Flee to Him. Now in this type of Christ, this picture of the cities of refuge, this is also an anti-type. Things that don't always add up. Types fail, don't they? This type and picture of Christ is not a perfect one. Give you some good advice. Don't ever cling to a type. Cling to Christ. There are six cities of refuge. There's only one refuge. Christ. One way, one truth, one life. Him. These cities, they protected people from physical death. We're all going to die. There'll come a day I don't breathe no more. This body's going to return to dust. The worms are going to consume it. Christ protects us from eternal death. Eternal damnation. To enter these cities, here in our text, a man has to exert himself. He has to flee. He has to run. There's no physical strength needed to enter Christ. No walking aisles. No performing anything. Look to Him. Believe Him. That's it. These cities, they were for those who accidentally killed someone. We didn't accidentally kill nobody, did we? We did it on purpose. And it was premeditated. And it ain't quit being premeditated even after the Lord saves us, has it? I'm going to read you something. I didn't have this in my notes, but give me a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Fifty years from now, somebody may read this or hear this sermon. They may have done something intentional. They get to this point and they just are bawling and they say, "This ain't me." 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That covers everybody. That gets every one of us in thought, word, or deed. Gets us somewhere. We, every one, did it on purpose. Verse 11. "And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. You're set apart. You're made holy. You are justified in the name." Where? Outside that city? In the name. "In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." I don't deserve to be in that city. Flee to the city. I don't deserve to be in Christ. Flee to Him. Beg Him for mercy. To know that, the Lord has done a work in you. To be washed is the Lord doing a work in you. To be justified, everything He did was perfect your whole life. "My good and faithful servant." That's to be in Christ. He ain't looking at you. Looking at that boy born in Pikeville Methodist Hospital 41 years ago. He's looking at his son. And he says, "You're in Him. You're in Him." That's where we need to be in. Coming to Him. These cities, they were for those that had killed someone by chance. Who Christ died for? The ungodly. The ungodly. A man or woman that's entered into Christ is safe in Christ, has a home there. You got a home there. That's where they abide. They have fellowship there with a whole bunch of people just like them. Just like brothers and sisters. One body. Those people, they ain't going to leave. Would you leave? You should, I could take it or leave it. Maybe this half, I'll keep this hand in there, but I'm going to reach out the wall this way. No, you ain't. You're going to stay right in the middle of that city. Everything I need's here. Everything I want's here. They ain't going to leave it, and they don't even want to talk about leaving it. People invite me to church sometimes, and I ain't got no interest. I tell people I'm a pastor, and I say, "I ain't that religious." What's that mean? Chew on that a while. What Paul told us, he said, we're not of those that draw back into perdition, are we? You come in there asking for mercy and you get it, you ain't going nowhere. I ain't drawing back. I'm going to stay right here where He put me. Right where He drew me. Where I fled at the same time. He was drawing me as I was running. I want to talk real brief about these cities. We'll probably come back to these cities again sometimes. But Solomon wrote Proverbs 18, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's easy to see it's mighty. The righteous runneth into it and it is safe." What's in a name? I want to look at these names of the cities real fast. They're in verse 7. The first one here is Kadesh. It means holy. That first city was named holy. You think that's a coincidence? It's the first attribute. It's holiness. It's holy. Christ is the Holy One. Both as God, He's a holy God, and as man. The God-man that walked this earth, He was holy. Adam was morally innocent. Christ was holy. His divine nature. He's abundantly qualified to be our mediator, our Savior, our Redeemer. Christ has made of God unto us righteousness and holiness and justification and sanctification. The next one there is Shechem. That means the shoulder. The shoulder. I sat on that for a while. I thought, I wonder what that means. The government sits on a particular shoulder, doesn't it? Just one. Isaiah told us that in Isaiah 9:6, the government shall rest upon his shoulder. All kingdoms are going to be on one of His shoulders. Christ carried the enormous load of our sin on His shoulders at Calvary, didn't He? He bore our sin. He carried it as our refuge. And then there in Luke 15, we see that lost sheep. As He walked in front of the sheep and said, "Come on, little buddy, you can do it. Walk through that mud hole. Get out of them briars by yourself." He picked it up, put it on his shoulder, and gladly carried it back. Happy. The next one's Hebron. Means fellowship. In 1 John 1:3 it says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." In Christ we have access to and we have fellowship with the eternal God, the Holy God. And we're going to have uninterrupted communion with Him in glory forever. True fellowship, eternal fellowship with Him. The next city is Bezer. That means a fortified place. He's our fortification. He's our palace, our castle. Psalm 91 says, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust." In Him. Those walls of that city, I trust them. I trust them. Ramoth means exalted. Christ is our exalted Savior. Philippians 2:9 says, "God hath highly exalted Him." Christ is the one by whom we have been exalted from our low estate in that miry pit of corruption. And we're made to sit among princes, thrones of glory, joint heirs with Christ. How are we exalted? Because Christ was exalted. Christ is the one we exalt. We honor Him. We magnify Him only. And the last one's Golan. That means revealed or manifested. Christ is God manifest in the flesh. In 1 Timothy 3:16. And He's the one revealed to us to whom we are called. That's the person we're called to. And by whom we are saved. In Christ, the glory of God in the face of Him, of a person. Paul said, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, who is manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." That's three on one side of the Jordan, and three on the other side of the Jordan. There's a whole lot you can read about that. And you say, well, the Levites got 42 cities, and then they got six cities of the cities of refuge. That's 48. 48 is divisible by 12. 12 is the side of election. And then, well, then you got four of those. If I got to take a calculator to church service, I ain't getting nothing out of it. If I can't divide that quick, I ain't going to get it. Jordan pictures us crossing over, doesn't it? What's perfect on this side of the Jordan? Christ is. Who's our Savior? Christ is. How long is that good for? Ever. Whenever I depart this world, what's all my refuge? Christ is. Perfection. How long is that going to last? Forever. Forever. It's good enough for me. What's sweet too? This is for the Israelites, isn't it? So many people are bound up following the law. You ain't Jewish. We're all under that law. But they honor these things. They even, some of them wear hats and the funny haircuts. And I'm a Gentile. Does this apply to me? What if I've done plenty wrong? Is this just for them? Look here in verse 9. Joshua 20, verse 9. "These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel." Oh. "And for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever." Whosoever. Does that include me? Whosoever. "Killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation." This is for those that have never entered into Christ. You've never come to Him. And you just found out there's a law and you broke it. Run to Him. What's the first thing I'll do? Flee. Drop everything out of your hand. Run to Christ. What about those that's been in that city for a long time? Run to the city. Stay in the city. Trust your mighty fortress, who is your God. One more time. Don't let off of it. Turn over to Psalm 62 and I'll let you go. Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. My God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. That's a musical term. It means pause. Dwell on that note a good while. Soak it in. I hope we can.